In 2018, musician Heather Maloney was in Orlando staying across the street from Pulse Nightclub when she heard the news of the Parkland shooting. Over the past 2 years, she had watched the walls of the nightclub become an ever-changing shrine of rainbows and candles and flowers. 10 minutes across Route 4 was a venue where she'd played her first show. Yet only a few months before, a singer friend of hers was shot and killed standing at the merch table. Maloney said, "Listening to the horrifying reports from Parkland, I was hit with a nauseating feeling of total immersion in a gun culture of violence that has run so rampant, so wildly out of control, that it is evidence can be seen in every direction. It was everywhere, and so I picked up my guitar, thinking if I could write a song, maybe I'd shake the feeling of hopelessness." She said, "I tried, but nothing came, just sloppy emotions with zero clarity." Then a few days later, she writes, "I heard Parkland survivor Emma Gonzalez give a speech that moved me to my core and lit my heart on fire. I picked my guitar up again, and this time a song came pouring out." Maloney dedicated that song's proceeds to advocacy groups like Everytown and Moms Demand Action, and her words are a cry of hope and resistance in a violent world. A is for allegiance. It's what you pledge every morning to the flag. And B is for bravery. In the home of the brave, it's what you gotta be. Because C is for children, hiding in the cabinets, the trenches of their classrooms. And D is for drill, and this is not a drill. This is not a drill. And E is for everyone, everyone lost, every single one. And F is for freedom. And are they all free now? Are we free? And how many more? How many babies in the ground? How many friends? How many more till we say never again? There's a teacher showing how to shield, a weapon made for battlefields. There's a trigger and anyone can pull it. There's a look inside a child's eyes when they don't trust the world outside, and their innocence flies from them like a bullet. This is a country where some people say that's just the price you pay for freedom. But I'm calling BS. How many more? How many more babies in the ground? How many more friends? How many more till we say never again? This September will be 20 years since the expiration of the federal assault weapons ban. It was in place for 10 years, from 1994 to 2004. In fact, it went in place when I was the same age as my daughter. Over the last 20 years since the ban was lifted, deaths from firearms have increased by 60%, up almost 20,000 deaths per year. Now nearly 50,000 people die every year from gun violence, which is like all the American casualties of the Vietnam War taking place every single year. So please don't tell me that policies don't have the power to kill people or save lives. A simple ban on assault weapons could have saved the lives of at least 100,000 Americans over the last 20 years. A stunning reality is coming into focus. The choices that we've made and the world that we've built for ourselves is killing our children. This is true from the environmental catastrophe to the fracturing of our democracy to smartphone technology. But there is nothing killing our children at a more rapid and dramatic pace than gun violence. The Center for Disease Control states that firearms are now the leading cause of death for children in America, surpassing motor vehicle accidents. A report published in May by the Washington Post revealed that there have been over 400 school shootings since Columbine, which means that more than 370,000 children have been personally exposed to gun violence in their schools. That does not count the number of children impacted by hearing about school shootings, viewing footage on the internet, or participating in active shooter drills, which is actually all of our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. This culture of gun violence has become so absurd, so appalling. You may have noticed people are now using religious language to describe what's happening. Listen to the headlines. Our children are not sacrificial lambs. Sacrificing our kids to gun lust. Sacrificing our children to the gods of the gun lobby. We live in an era of ritual child sacrifice. We are sacrificing our children on the altar of guns and special interests. America continues to sacrifice babies to the altar of gun. America, how long will you sacrifice your children on the altar of gun worship? This is NBC News, The Guardian. These are not religious newspapers. The language of sacrifice has become ubiquitous, and the reason journalists find themselves using this theological language is that the problem of gun violence has risen to biblical proportions, and we are all running out of words to describe it. The first writer to claim that we were sacrificing our children was the historian Gary Willis. After the Newtown shooting, he penned an article for the New York Review entitled Our Moloch, where he wrote, "Few crimes are more harshly forbidden in the Old Testament than the sacrifice to the god Moloch, which we see in Leviticus 18. The sacrifice was of living children consumed in the fires as an offering to the god Moloch. Since then, the worship of Moloch has been a sign of a deeply degraded culture. Ancient Romans justified the destruction of Carthage by noting that children were sacrificed to Moloch there. The horror cannot be blamed on just one unhinged person. It was the sacrifice that we as a culture made and continually make to a demonic god. We guarantee that crazed man after crazed man will have a flood of killing power readily supplied to him, and we make that offering out of our devotion to Moloch, our god. The gun is our Moloch." Willis goes on to write, "We sacrifice children to Moloch daily, sometimes at Sandy Hook by directly throwing them into the firehouse of bullets from our protected private killing machine, sometimes by blighting our children's lives by the death of a parent or a schoolmate or a teacher or protector, sometimes by mass killing, sometimes by private offerings to the god. The gun is not a mere tool or bit of technology, a political issue or a point of debate. It is an object of reverence. Like most gods, it does what it will. And it cannot be questioned. Adoration of Moloch permeates this country, imposing a hushed silence where he works his will. Devotion to it precludes interruption with the sacrifice it entails. One cannot question its rights, even as the blood is gushing through the idol's teeth." We may imagine ourselves to be more evolved than the societies we find in the Bible during the late Bronze Age who sacrificed their children to Moloch, but we are not. We live in a brutally violent nation that has grown increasingly comfortable with sacrificing our children and our neighbors to the god of the gun. In fact, our culture is a lot like Israel was when it was described in the last lines of the book of Judges. "In those days, there was no king," the author writes, "and everyone did what was right in their own eyes." Now, one can interpret that as meaning that there was a sense of lawlessness and anarchy. But for us in America, it is more fitting to imagine a world in which a naive dogma of maximizing individual rights and freedoms has led to chaos and violence, eroding the fabric of community, destroying any sense of the virtues for putting the common good of all people above our own. In our own country, everyone does what is right in their own eyes has been lionized as the bedrock of democracy, symbolized by a yellow flag with a snake, I know you've seen it, and a slogan that says, "Don't tread on me." Or you might just replace it with a traditional American flag turned upside down. We are sacrificing the lives of our children to protect an extreme individualism that masquerades as American freedom. But we are not free as we imagine. We are enslaved to a misunderstanding, not only of freedom, but of the divine command. A misunderstanding like Abraham was misunderstood when he mistakenly imagined that God was telling him to sacrifice his son Isaac. We make a mockery of religion and a monstrosity of Christianity when you imagine that God requires human sacrifice for any reason, even to protect our way of life. God does not call us to sacrifice our children, not to appease God's wrath or to forgive our sins or to atone for our transgressions. Yet this theological malpractice has led many to imagine that sacrificing people for the sake of protecting our way of life or this imagined idea of freedom is divinely justified. But it is a lie, and God will not be mocked. So how are we to live as people of faith and good conscience in a society that worships the gun and sacrifices its children to enshrine the right for everyone to do what is right in their own eyes? There was an alternative witness, as there always is, in the time of the judges, a person who did not consent to child sacrifice or laissez-faire libertarianism, but found a way to be faithful when the rest of society was intent on its own destruction. Her name was Hannah, and she was an outcast in her own family, scorned by her sister wife Penaniah for not having children. She was a disappointment to her husband, Elkanah, because her grief was so deep she could not eat or meet his unreasonable emotional expectations. And yet Hannah prayed and wept for a child over and over again until one day her tears were so bitter that she made a vow that if God would grant her request, that she would set her child apart for service to a righteous and holy calling. Unlike Abraham, Hannah never imagined God would ask her to sacrifice a child. Instead, she made a vow to sanctify her child. And her sanctified child grew up to become the prophet Samuel, whose leadership would establish a future for the people of Israel that was no longer determined by everyone doing what was right in their own eyes. One of the tragedies in America today is that far too many are willing to sacrifice a child, and far too few are willing to sanctify a child. Far too many want to sanctify a fetus or an embryo more than they want to sanctify a child already living and breathing, vulnerable to the scourge of violence tearing through our land and our schools. In fact, some people, the same who want to sanctify a fetus or an embryo, are often the very same people pushing for laissez-faire gun laws that are killing our children. But we don't need any more people who are comfortable with the sacrifice of children. We need more people like Hannah, people who are going to provide a witness of how to sanctify our children instead of sacrifice them, consecrate our children, hallow our children, protect our children, bless our children with the future they truly deserve. What does it mean to sanctify a child? After dedicating her son to God, Hannah did something extraordinary. She sang a song of praise so strong, her words echoed throughout history and found their way into the mouth of a Jewish peasant girl from Nazareth who gave birth to the Messiah. Her name was Mary. And inside the lyrics of Hannah's song, we find a proclamation of the great reversal of God's kingdom, a way out of the never-ending spiral of violence, a roadmap for the sanctification of our children and the healing of our nation. Hannah sang, "Talk no more so very proudly. Let arrogance not come from your mouth. The bows of the mighty will be broken, but the feeble will gird on strength. God raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. God will guard the feet of the faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail." Hannah sang, and her words have become our own. As Hannah sang, the time is over for proud and arrogant talk of thoughts and prayers while people are dying, or the proud and arrogant talk of those who say that nothing can be done. The time has come to break the bows and the guns of the mighty so our feeble children can have the strength to grow up. The time has come to lift up the poor and the needy children from the dust of violence and the ash heap of history. The time has come for us to guard the feet of the little ones, remembering that the wicked shall be cut off and that might will never prevail over what is right, so long as people of faith and good conscience keep on fighting every day for peace and justice and love. Hannah's song became Mary's song, and Mary's song became Jesus' mission, which was to scatter the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, to bring down the powerful from their thrones, and to lift up the lowly. And so if we want to sanctify our children instead of sacrificing our children, We must commit ourselves to bring the lyrics of Hannah's song together with the lyrics of Mary's song into a mission statement for us as the followers of Jesus in America today. To combat this deadly disease that plagues our children and our society, we must redouble our efforts to break the bows and tear down the powerful from their thrones. We need to commit to eliminating all military-grade weapons of destruction from our streets. Those are the weapons that killed the officers in this city, which means you can't be for AR-15s and for police at the same time. I'm sorry. We need to take the powerful who benefit from this culture of death and destruction down from their thrones. We need to renew a ban on assault rifles and tear down the NRA and the NSF and the gun manufacturers and the politicians in their pockets and the banks providing them loans and all the powerful people who are acting like this isn't an emergency for our nation today. God has no interest in the sacrifice of our children. God has no use for ritual sacrifice of any kind. In fact, God rejects every sacrifice we make to the idols of our own making. Again and again in the Bible, we find that God desires something different than sacrifice, mercy and justice. Over and over again, Isaiah proclaimed, "Trample my courts no more, bringing sacrifices will be futile. Incense is an abomination to me. Instead, do this, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." He didn't say make orphans and make widows. Amos proclaimed, "You offer me burnt offerings, but I will not accept them. The sacrifices of your fatted animals, I will not look upon them, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." And then Micah proclaimed, I know it's our favorite passage, "With what shall I come before the Lord? With burnt offerings? With sacrifices? Calves a year old, thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn or any other child for my transgressions, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? No, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Even Jesus proclaimed, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." If more Christians in America today were committed to mercy and justice than they are to sacrifice, then America would be a more peaceful and beautiful nation. One chapter after God forbids the sacrifice of children to Moloch, there's a verse in Leviticus 19 where it says, "Do not stand by at your neighbor's blood." The rabbis of old took this to mean, do not stand idly by while your neighbor is bleeding or your friends are dying. Friends, our neighbors are bleeding, and our children are being sacrificed to the God of American greed. The question is, will we stand idly by as our children and our neighbors are sacrificed? Or will we say something and do something and try to do our best to end this absurd violence and catastrophic loss of life? I can promise you this, friends. I will not stand idly by. I will not stand idly by as children are sacrificed. I will not stand idly by as we bow our knee to Moloch. I will not stand idly by as we worship at the altar of the Almighty Gun. I will not stand idly by as we lust for extreme individualism and the power to do whatever is right in our own eyes. I will not stand idly by as the NRA and the NSSF and the manufacturers and the lobbyists and the politicians and the banks and the gun enthusiasts get away with murder. I will keep on singing Hannah's song and Mary's song and Jesus' song until all the bows are broken and all the guns are destroyed and all the powerful are brought down from their thrones and all our children are protected and all our kids have a future. I will not stand idly by because I remember that old gospel song we used to sing together at the revival meetings when I was a child. I cannot be idle, Jesus says, go. I cannot be idle, for Jesus says, go and work in my harvest today. Beloved, our work is not done. We are not obligated to complete the work in our lifetimes, but neither are we free to abandon it. We cannot be idle. We must continue to march, continue to fight, continue to pray, continue to write,
continue to sing, continue to petition, continue to protest, continue to vote. We must continue to break all the bows and exterminate all the guns and tear down the powerful from their thrones until there is no more sacrifice, until all our children are sanctified, and until we can say never again and really mean it. Amen.